Welcome to Torah Imecha, Nach Yomi with the OU Women's Initiative. This is Amy Horowitz, and today we're studying Yeshayahu Perek Lamed Chet. Perek Lamed Chet begins by telling us, or retelling us, since even though Sefer Yeshayahu was written first, we've already read the parallel Perek in Sefer Melachim, that Bayamim Haheim, at that time, Chizkiyahu becomes sick and is visited by the Navi Yeshayahu. The Gemara in Masachet Brachot shares the interesting background behind this visit. It seems that Chizkiyahu and Yeshayahu disagreed over who should visit whom. Is it more appropriate for the Navi to seek out the king, as Eliyahu HaNavi did with Ahav, or should the king seek out the Navi, as Yehoram did with Elisha? Hashem, the ultimate negotiator, finds a compromise. He strikes Chizkiyahu down with a serious illness, and he instructs Yeshayahu to go pay the sick king a visit. This isn't a social visit, though, as Yeshayahu has come with very harsh words of prophecy for Chizkiyahu. Ko amar Hashem, tzav leveitecha, ki meita ta velo tichyeh. Thus says Hashem, set your affairs in order, for you're going to die, you will not get well. This is, of course, very bad news and is coming at a very bad time. Based on the opening phrase, Bayamim Haheim, our Mefarshim debate the timing of this illness. Chizkiyahu gets sick either just before Sancheiriv's threat to attack Yerushalayim, or right after Sancheiriv's death, when, according to Ralbag, Sancheiriv's son, Esarhaddon, plans to begin his reign as king of Assyria with another attempt to attack Yerushalayim. Our king dying while we face the biggest military threat of our lives is the worst possible timing. Making the timing even worse, the Gemara in Masechet Brachot informs us that at this point, Chizkiyahu is still not married, and therefore has no children. If he dies of this illness, he'll leave Malchut Beit David with no heir to the throne. Leaving no successor is always complicated and chaotic, but leaving no successor during the war against Assyria is a huge disaster and a recipe for defeat. So other than contriving a reason to get the king and Navi to compromise over their meeting place, why would Hashem send this fatal illness right at this crucial moment? According to the Gemara, the whole purpose is to get Chizkiyahu to realize that life is short and that he must indeed marry and have children before he dies so that the succession of Davidic kings can continue after his death. That's why it's so important to God that Yeshayahu go and visit the king, not just to provide a diplomatic solution to the debate over who should visit whom, but to tell Chizkiyahu the error of his decision not to marry and have children. In Chizkiyahu's defense, he explains to Yeshayahu that he envisioned with Ruach HaKodesh that if he had children, they wouldn't be righteous. He happens to be correct. Ultimately, he'll have a son, Menashe, who will succeed him as king and prove to be one of the most evil kings in our history. In fact, Hashem repeatedly tells the Nevi'im that his decision to allow the Beit HaMikdash to be destroyed is a direct result of Menashe's sins. But as the Gemara relates, Yeshayahu tells Chizkiyahu not to mess with Hashem's plans for the world and to fulfill his mitzvah to have children, even if they turn out to be evil like Menashe. You do what you're supposed to do, says God, and let God do what he's supposed to do. As human beings, we don't have the foresight that Hashem obviously has. Abarbanel points out that although Menashe will be evil and his son Amon equally evil, Chizkiyahu's great-grandson Yoshiyahu will be incredibly righteous, making it all worthwhile. Malbim explains that God designed this confluence of events, Chizkiyahu's illness and the pressure from Assyria, to force Chizkiyahu to take a long, hard look at himself and figure out what he could be doing better. If things are going this poorly, maybe there's some flaw in his character or some sin or mistake on his record that he needs to correct. This is why Hashem sends Yeshayahu to tell him, ki meit ata velo tichyeh. The repetitive way this pasuk is phrased is a hint to the fact that he'll die in this world and won't live in Olam Haba. Yeshayahu's message seems to penetrate. Upon hearing this pronouncement of his fate, vayasev Chizkiyahu panav el hakir vayit palel el Hashem. Chizkiyahu turns his face to the wall and prays to Hashem. Malbim explains that Chizkiyahu turns to the wall to block out any distraction while he davens. The Gemara suggests that the wall is a reference to the deep kavana that Chizkiyahu prayed with, davening mikirot libo, from the inner walls or chambers of his heart. This is a concept later borrowed by Yirmiyahu HaNavi. May I, O chila kirot libi, homel li libi. My innards, the walls of my heart are in pain. My heart moans within me. The Gemara also offers the following explanation. Chizkiyahu pleaded with God to save him for the sake of a wall. He begs God to spare his life in the merit of his ancestor Shlomo HaMelech, who built the walls of the Beit HaMikdash and covered them in silver and gold. Chizkiyahu's tefillah is short but powerful. In it, he includes two different defenses of his own personal merit, two reasons why God should listen to his prayer and save his life. Zechorna et asher hitalachti lefanecha be'emet uvelev shalem. Remember that I walked before you in truth and with a full heart. Malbim explains that this refers to Chizkiyahu's beliefs and philosophies. He believed in the truth of God's existence and power with complete faith. V'hatov be'enecha asiti, and I did what was good in your eyes. This, says the Malbim, is a reference to Chizkiyahu's actions, and the fact that he did them only for the purpose of serving Hashem, and not for any ulterior motive or personal purpose. The pasuk then tells us that Chizkiyahu cried, Vayevk Chizkiyahu bechi gadol, a great cry. The Gemara in Masechet Bava Metzia tells us that even when the heavenly gates of Tfila are closed, Sharei Dema'ot lo ninalu, the gates of tears are never closed. Our tears have a way of stirring Hashem's compassion, as David HaMelech writes in Tehillim, Shima Tfilati Hashem v'shavati, ha'azina el dimati al techerash. Hear my prayer, Hashem, give ear to my cry, do not disregard my tears. Abarbanel explains that as soon as Chizkiyahu finished speaking, immediately Vayhi Dvar Hashem al Yeshayahu lemor, Hashem appears to Yeshayahu with a message for the king. Haloch ve'amarta el Chizkiyahu, ko amar Hashem elokei David avicha, shamati et tfilatecha, ra'iti et dimatecha, hineni yosif al yamecha chamesh esrei shana. Go and tell Chizkiyahu, thus says Hashem, the God of your father David, I've heard your prayer, I've seen your tears. I hereby add 15 years to your life. Abarbanel explains that Hashem mentions David HaMelech in this pasuk as a way of reminding Chizkiyahu that he has an obligation to leave a successor, to continue David's legacy. In the Sefer Melachim version of this story, Hashem calls Chizkiyahu Nagid Ami, the leader of my nation. Abarbanel explains that this is also Hashem's way of reminding Chizkiyahu of who he is, the king. And as king, he needs to worry about leaving a successor to lead the next generation. Hashem promises to cure Chizkiyahu, giving him an additional 15 years to live, and promising to rescue his kingdom from the threat of Assyria, whether that threat is coming from Sancheiriv or from his son, as we mentioned earlier. Hashem offers Chizkiyahu a sign. Hineni meshiv et seil ha-ma'alot asher yarda b'ma'alot achaz b'shemesh achoranit eser ma'alot, v'tashav ha-shemesh eser ma'alot b'ma'alot asher yarda. God says, I will make the shadow on the steps, which has descended on the dial of Achaz because of the sun, recede 10 steps. And the sun's shadow receded 10 steps, the same steps as it had descended. Metzudat David explains that Hashem moved the sun back 10 steps on the sundial to miraculously lengthen the day by 10 hours, a sign for Chizkiyahu that Hashem can do anything, even cure Chizkiyahu from his illness and lengthen his life just like he lengthened the day. Rashi explains that on the day Chizkiyahu's father Achaz died, Hashem shortened the day by 10 hours to give people less opportunity to eulogize that evil king. Now, on the day that he'll be cured from his illness, Vatashav Hashemesh Eser Ma'alot B'Ma'alot Asher Yarda, Hashem gives the righteous Chizkiyahu those same 10 hours back. This explains why our pasuk references Ma'alot Achaz, the dial or steps of Achaz. Malbim suggests that Chizkiyahu didn't really need a sign that Hashem would fulfill his promise. In a few days, when he was fully cured from a nearly fatal illness, it would be self-evident. However, says Malbim, Hashem performs this miracle, a miracle whose impact would be felt around the world, as a sign for the 10 tribes, by now exiled and scattered amongst the nations of the world. God's hoping that, wherever they are, the lost members of the Jewish people will see the sun move backwards in the sky and will realize that Hashem is still out there somewhere, performing miracles and supervising the world. Our perek now turns to Chizkiyahu's poem of thanksgiving, something that the narrative in Sefer Melachim doesn't include. Abarbanel suggests that Chizkiyahu put his feelings in writing so that he could send these words of praise to every corner of his kingdom. Although this poem ultimately does praise Hashem for his miraculous recovery, Chizkiyahu first describes the depth of his suffering while he was ill. Chizkiyahu begins by saying, Ani amarti bidmi yamai elecha b'sha'arei she'ol pukadati yeter shnotai. I thought, I must depart in the middle of my days. I've been consigned to the gates of Sheol for the rest of my years. The simple explanation, according to Abarbanel, is that Chizkiyahu assumed that if he was fatally ill, bidmi yamai, in the middle of his lifetime, it must be because of a sin, which is why he now says he was consigned to Sheol, the depths, and not heaven. Abarbanel also offers an alternative understanding of this pasuk. Chizkiyahu says that he thought he was about to die, but when he arrived just at the gates of Sheol, just as his soul was about to depart his body, pukadati yeter shnotai, Hashem gifted him with extra years. Chizkiyahu continues, Amarti lo ere ka be'eret hachayim. I said to myself, I'll no longer see Hashem in the land of the living. What's Chizkiyahu worried about? Don't we believe that our experience with God will be even better in the next world, unrestricted by our bodies and the limitations of our senses? Malbim explains that we as human beings, limited as we are by our five senses, can't even imagine a world in which we can perceive God without the use of our bodies. Even though we can't see God physically with our eyes, we still use our physical selves as a filter for our understanding of God in this world. This is what Chizkiyahu means when he worries that he'll no longer be able to connect to Hashem the way he did in this lifetime, as a living human being. The unknown is scary, and he has no idea what he'll have to do in order to see God in the next world. Chizkiyahu then says, Dori nisa v'nigla mini ke'ohel ro'i. My dwelling is pulled up and removed from me like a tent of shepherds. Abarbanel explains that this refers to Chizkiyahu's newfound understanding of how serious it is that he doesn't yet have any children. Like shepherds who roll up their tents and move on to their next location, leaving no trace that they camped there the night before, Chizkiyahu would have left this world leaving no trace, no legacy or dynasty behind. This explains his next statement, Midala Yevatzeni, which Rashi explains as, God deprived me of my glory. In other words, if he had died with no successor, all the glory of his kingship would have been erased. However, says Chizkiyahu, Hashem aleihem yichyu ulechol bahen chaye ruchi v'tachalimeni v'hachayeni. Hashem, concerning them you said they will live, and before all of them the life of my spirit, and you cured me and gave me life. Rashi explains that the subject of the first phrase of our pasuk, aleihem yichyu, is all the souls of all the dead from the beginning of time, who God has promised to ultimately resurrect with the miracle of Tchiyat HaMetim. In other words, Chizkiyahu is comparing his miraculous recovery to the miracle of Tchiyat HaMetim. Just like God promised to revive the dead, he revived Chizkiyahu from the brink of death, both huge miracles. Radak explains the last words of this pasuk differently. He suggests that Vatachalimeni v'hachayeni is Chizkiyahu's prayer for the future. He hopes that Hashem will keep him healthy for the next 15 years, the bonus time that Hashem has granted him. Amidst all this great praise and thankfulness of Chizkiyahu's poem, it does contain one note of bitterness. Hine l'shalom mar li mar. Behold, in peace, it was extremely bitter for me. Rashi explains that when Chizkiyahu heard the great news of his recovery, there was still one thing that made him feel bitter. In the narrative of this story in Sefer Melachim, Yeshayahu tells Chizkiyahu that God will restore his health and protect his kingdom, lema'an David avdi, for the sake of David HaMelech, and not for Chizkiyahu's own merit. At the end of Chizkiyahu's poem, Yeshayahu instructs the king to apply a cake of pressed figs to his skin to heal the boils that had erupted. Ibn Ezra suggests that this is part of Hashem's miraculous cure of Chizkiyahu, as pressing figs to the skin should naturally irritate his scabs and make them worse. The fact that this works is a miracle and the manifestation of Hashem's promise to heal Chizkiyahu. Abarbanel disagrees. He explains that pressing figs to skin lesions is a natural cure. Although Hashem will miraculously cure Chizkiyahu from the source of his illness, allowing him to live another 15 years, the symptoms of his illness are still bothering him, and Yeshayahu wants to ease his discomfort. This difference of opinion as to the nature of the figs and whether they represent a miraculous or natural cure has an impact on our understanding of the last pasuk of our perek. Vayomer Chizkiyahu, ma'ot ki e'ele beit Hashem. Chizkiyahu asked, what will be the sign that I'll go up to the house of Hashem? Chizkiyahu asks Yeshayahu for a sign that all is well, and that he can return to the Beit HaMikdash in confidence that his life and kingship are not over. This is strange, because everything Yeshayahu has prophesied so far has come true, and so there's no real need for Chizkiyahu to ask him for a sign to prove that these words will come true as well. However, explains Abarbanel, if Yeshayahu's cure is a natural remedy, Chizkiyahu has cause for concern. If God is going to cure him with a miracle, why is the Navi offering him ointment from his medicine cabinet, a natural cure? Therefore, says Abarbanel, he just wants to confirm that God is still planning on healing him miraculously. Rashi explains the opposite opinion, based on the assumption that the figs are actually miraculous, part of Hashem's plan to heal Chizkiyahu. He interprets this closing pasuk as an exclamation, not a question. According to Rashi, Chizkiyahu's faith in Hashem's cure doesn't waver for one second. Instead, he exclaims, Ma'ot, what an incredible sign these figs are that I will be completely healed, and once again, ki e'ele beit Hashem, return to the Beit HaMikdash. Thank you for studying together, the Ilui Nishmat, Malka Esther, Batzvi Yosef.